You know, when we think of Lent, I don't think rejoicing is a common theme that we associate with it, especially not a Lenten weekend when we just had time change, which definitely is not something worth rejoicing over, especially if you have to be up early to do things like go to the other church for Mass at dark 30. You know, so we don't rejoice during Lent. We don't think of it as rejoicing. We think of it as penitential. We think of abstaining or giving something up, you know, meatless Fridays and so on. That's what we think of Lent about. And it is a solemn, somber season. That's why we use purple, which is a more somber color than the brighter colors of white and green and so on. But yet, in the middle of this Lenten season, we do have this Laetare Sunday, this day of rejoicing. In fact, the entrance antiphon, the introit, says for this Mass, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, and all who love her. Be joyful, all who are mourning. Exult and be satisfied at her consoling breast." It's a reminder for us that even in the midst of this penitential season, this somber season of Lent, we have much to rejoice over, and we should rejoice in it. And there are two verses from our gospel or our scripture readings today that I want to focus on that show us why we have much to rejoice about. And these are both verses that we should be very familiar with because they show us not only the synopsis of the gospel, but also why the gospel is so important and why we should be out proclaiming the gospel. So the first one is a very famous reading, a reading that's well known. It has been well known. Sometimes you'll see during like football games, there will be somebody out on one end of the field and another holding up a sign, John 3:16. It's kind of funny. That was popular for a while and kind of faded away. And now I've been noticing it again during games that you'll watch an NFL game and somewhere near an end zone, somebody will have the John 3:16 sign when they know the TV will be showing that part of the field. But this verse, it's John 3:16, 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." I'd argue that this is a summary of the gospel message, that God loved the world so much that he sent our Lord Jesus to die and rise again so that we might not be condemned, but that we might be saved, that we might have salvation from sin. You know, and it's important to recognize that because when we look at the history of the Judeo-Christian faith, that's a common cycle, especially with the Israelite nation. You look at the Israelites throughout the Old Covenant, the Jews and the Israelites, and they had this constant cycle that they would fall into with sin. They'd fall into a sin. You know, it says that they combined iniquity upon iniquity in our reading today, first reading today. They just, the abomination of the nations. I mean, you can imagine they're worshiping false gods. They're doing the ritual practices of the false gods and so on. They're combining sin after sin after sin. It's getting worse and worse. And they reach the consequences of those sin. They fall into punishment. God punishes the Israelite nation for their sins because they refused to turn back to God. They turned away from him and turned into these sins of these false gods of these other nations. Well, that punishment then leads the Israelite nation to come back to God, to realize how they had fallen away from him. And they returned to him. They repented from their sins and returned to him. Now, this cycle of sin, and this is a sin that our cycle that we see not just for the Israelites, not just for the Jews, but through all of humanity. We see it in our lives. We see it in great nations and small nations and in communities and so on. These cycles of sin leading to repentance, returning back to God. This wasn't God's plan for us, for his people. God did not want us to go through these cycles of sin. He wanted us to be in union with him for all eternity, that we would not have sin, we would not die. That's the message of the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We were not meant to suffer and die. We were not meant for sin. We were meant for God's glory, to live with him for all eternity. And God doesn't want sin to get between us and him. Our Heavenly Father loves us and doesn't want us to turn away from him, but instead wants us to always be in union with him, always be seeking him, to love him above all things. And so he sent his son to die for us. You know, our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, was sent to break that cycle of sin, falling into sin and punishment and repentance. That even when sin comes into our lives, that we don't go through that cycle of punishment. We're not punished for those sins, but instead have that call to repentance in our lives, to return to our Lord. Our Lord's death on the cross put an end to the condemnation that comes with sin. And instead of keeping us cut off, opened the gates of heaven for us. That's what our Lord did. You know, he was in a way, he took on that condemnation for us. And he brought healing to us, healing from the poison of sin. You know, in the beginning of the gospel, it talks about the bronze serpent that the Israelites had while they were going through the desert. It was given to them by God through Moses, that the Israelites would be bitten by a poisonous serpent. And all they'd had to do was look at that bronze serpent that was lifted up on a pole, and they would be healed from the poison. Well, in the same way that when we look at our Lord on the cross, we find our healing for our sins. Every time we look at a crucifix, we should be reminded that's how we are healed from the poison of sin. It should be a constant reminder for us. And that's why we have the crucifix in Catholic churches. That's why we should have crucifixes in our houses. It's a reminder for us that the poison of sin is healed by the cross of Christ, by the salvation of Christ. It helps us to break that cycle of sin in our lives. It keeps us from turning away from God and instead returning to him. So that's the first one, is this John 3:16. The second verse I want to focus on is Ephesians 2:8 through 10. This is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. The first half of that verse is probably somewhat familiar if you've talked with someone who's a Protestant who's doing evangelization, because that's a very popular one, that we were made, you know, we have been saved through faith, not through our works. And that's absolutely 100% true. We are saved by the grace of God. But you notice that verse does not end with just that. It also says that we are called to do good works, which are gifts from God. If we truly have a saving faith, a faith that will lead to our salvation from sin, our enter into eternal life, it will lead us to good works. We can't just say, yes, I'm a Christian and I'm good to go. You know, that's one of the biggest errors, I think, that has come out of Protestantism over recent years, you know, in the last couple centuries, is this idea of, you know, come up and say your altar call, and once saved, always saved, that's all you got to do, you can't do anything else. No, that's not what St. Paul says here. He is saying here, no, we cannot work our way to heaven. We can't just take a checklist and make sure we're doing everything right and do all these good works, but it doesn't change our heart. It needs to go the other way. We need to have that faith in God, that desire to be united with him and allow his grace to flow through us, which shows up in doing good works for our neighbor, out of love for our neighbor. We cannot achieve salvation through our own efforts, but we need to allow God to work through us. Our faith must be an active faith. We can't just sit on our laurels and say, well, I believe in God, so I'm good. There needs to be more. All of this is a message of hope. It's hope for us that despite the sin we see in the world, the sin that we see in our lives, it's not the end. We do not need to be trapped in that cycle of sin. But we can turn to God and we can remember that he did send his son for our salvation. And that through our faith, we can do those good works that we are called to do so that we might have that salvation that awaits for us, that those gates of heaven may be open for us. These are words of hope that we are called to rejoice in them.